views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hit show Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Do you love your life? Are you truly free in being your authentic self? In a stress-filled world full of distractions, Love Living Radio is a space to explore how mindful presence can steer you toward an ignited life. What does a life you really love look like? Emily shares her innermost vulnerabilities and breaks down barriers through conversations about sex and relationships, the magic of plant medicine, and so much more in order to share the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. Now, here's your host.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Love Living Radio. If this is the first time that you're tuning in, thank you for taking the time to pop in and check out what Love Living Radio is all about. We do a lot of fun things on this show. We talk about all sorts of things from sex and relationships to the magic of plant medicine. We've talked about ayahuasca. We've talked about CBD. We'll be talking about cacao at some point, probably in the near future. But it's just a really fun place to talk about magic and things that maybe we don't get to talk about every day. Maybe things that feel a little bit vulnerable. That's a big part of what this radio show is all about, is talking about the things that feel really vulnerable. It's for me, what like lights me up. It's what makes me feel alive. It's what makes me feel really connected. So here on Love Living Radio, we just basically open up, whether it's our guests or just me. We talk about the stuff that's hard to talk about. We talk about the stuff that might be, you know, there maybe you hold some shame around, or maybe there's some guilt around, or maybe there's some curiosity around. Like maybe there's something that you like plant medicine that you're like, what is that all about? But you kind of feel drawn to it and you're curious about it and what it could possibly be or do for you, because that's really what it is. It's a resource, just like everything that we bring on this radio show. It's a resource for getting to know yourself better, for getting to know how you can be the most vibrant you in this world. So everything we offer is a resource. Resource for what I call treasure hunting, which is really just going and finding all those beautiful gems inside yourself that are waiting for you to be seen, that may not always feel like a gem. Sometimes they feel inside you like a really heavy rock. But the treasure hunting is really intentional, because in treasure hunting is fun and it's an adventure. So like, what if we can take that energy, that concept, that lens, and apply it to the darker sides of who we are, or the places where we hold shame or guilt. So that's why I love calling it treasure hunting, because it kind of like reframes and switches the lens on how we think about inner work sometimes as being this really hard and heavy and sad thing sometimes. You know, like so many people don't want to look at the darker sides of who we are because we make it wrong. And I love calling it treasure hunting because it takes those things that we make wrong and turns them into beautiful gems, gems that we can learn from, gems that we can be with and maybe love enough to incorporate, instead of creating ourselves as like, this is the bad side of me and this is the right side of me. You know, looking at ourselves as a whole human. A whole human with all of our stuff, not good or bad, just human. So that's what we do here on Love Living Radio. That's why I show up to this, and that's why I love what I do. And if I haven't told you yet, I'm Emily Perkins, and I own a practice called Love Living Holistics. And it's shaping and morphing at the moment. You know, for the past decade, Love Living Holistics has been a practice. You know, I had an office space. I worked one-on-one with clients doing skincare and energy work, and then eventually coaching. And we still have that office space in Middletown, Rhode Island, but this year is going to look a lot different. I am currently coming to you from Lisbon, Portugal, and I am on a crazy four-month adventure. Carter and I have been giggling about, like, okay, where are you now? What are you doing now? Because every month I tune in, I'm in a different place. And at one point I missed one of my recordings, which was a big naughty no-no, because I totally got the timing wrong, because they're more constantly in different time zones. And I completely forgot and was in an escape room in Split, Croatia. So it was like, Carter was like, really? Like, what is your life right now? So it's been an adventure, and the next 4 months have really been about creating this new shift in my business, from going from that one-on-one kind of business, brick and mortar, grounded practice to more of a global brand. And that's really what my intention is in these next 4 months of travel, is to start growing a global brand, which sounds like, blah, whatever, but it's really actually about reaching more people. In going global, it's about reaching more people, connecting with more people, loving on more people, so that that energy starts to expand. So it's not just this one bubble of Middletown, Rhode Island, which I love so much, but is like starting to touch and reach so many people. So that's the other reason I show up to this. And it is, been a very interesting journey, this whole movement towards expansion and global versus local. I still have my practice back home, and I have two amazing people holding down the fort for me and caring for my people. And that's wonderful, because I didn't have to give up the 10 years of work that I'd created, creating that brick and mortar practice of relationships with people. I got to amazingly do both, you know, keep that and go off and explore and start creating global energy and global connections, which is what I'm really passionate about right now. So in that, in doing this crazy adventure, I've noticed a lot. I've noticed a lot. There is nothing more powerful to like bring about awareness and throw you into your own survivor self and your stuff than travel, and especially when you're traveling with a group of people, and especially when you're traveling with a group of people to new places every month. So this was like a great challenge that I decided to give myself. And what I've noticed while I've been traveling, I talked a little bit about in our last episode, was, you know, some of my own survivor self stuff that comes up around connection and community. And but this week, as we transitioned from Croatia, Split, Croatia, to Lisbon, Portugal, which, if you have not been to Lisbon, Lisbon is amazing, amazing, so flippin' cool. There's just color everywhere, amazing food everywhere, friendly, engaging people, and different people from all over the place. You know, like Split was very much a little bit monotone. You know, like it had a mostly white and mostly Croatian population. But here in Split, or here in Lisbon, it's full of transient people from all over the place, and people from all different backgrounds and ethnic heritage. So it's really, really cool. And there's music everywhere, and it's just very alive. The city is very alive. And with that shift in energy, going from Split, which was a little bit slower, a little bit smaller city, you know, a little bit more like one level of energy, to Lisbon, which is a much bigger city and a lot more energy, And even just the transition, because, you know, you go into your first month of this adventure and everything is brand new. You don't know any of the people, or at least I didn't know any of the people. And so you're creating new friendships. You're creating a new home. You're creating new normal, new routines, new, new everything. So you're like in this state of flux for the first time. And then you start to get comfortable and you start to create your routines and what feels normal for you and your connections. And then all of a sudden, you get picked up and dropped back into a new city to figure out again how to find your new normal. So there's just already this sense of like a tornado kind of, and then coming into a city with a much higher vibration and a lot more energy and a lot more people just kind of adds to that. So as soon as I got to Lisbon, I could feel it. I could feel the difference. And it was a bit of a transition the first week, trying to figure out how to get my bearings and trying to figure out how to feel grounded in all of the movement again. And one of the things that really resonated for me in this first week of being in Lisbon is the importance of healthy boundaries. And it's the thing that we're going to talk about the most today. And it's been really cool thinking about that, because for me, I had always thought about boundaries as like walls that we put up. You know, like I think when we think of boundaries, sometimes we think about it as like this, like pushing back, like hard walls. And in my mind, I kind of always had a little bit of resistance to that idea, because I was like, I don't want to put up walls. I want to be open, and I want to receive and also give as much as possible. And like, I just didn't ever connect with the concept of boundaries, because it felt really fear-based and it felt like really aggressive. But that was my own lens. And thinking a lot about healthy boundaries this week, because I needed to in order to feel really grounded, in order to find my equilibrium in all of this change and movement and energy that I stepped into. So thinking about what healthy boundaries means for me has been really interesting. So one, acknowledging the first belief that's somewhat disempowering, you know, like, and also creating like other options. So understanding like, okay, my belief or the resistance that I feel about boundaries has to do with it being a wall and hard and keeping people out. Okay, so what's another option? Is that the only option? You know, like getting that curiosity, that watcher being like, hey, okay, what else could it be? How else could you relate to boundaries? And I've since thought about boundaries as like this translucent film, as like almost like light, right? Like it's receptive and also pushes out, but not in a way that's like hard. So healthy boundaries to me feel like light, like a light film. And with that new shift in perspective and in lens, it allows me new opportunities to, in terms of how I relate. Because that's really what we're talking about, is relating to yourself, relating to others, connecting with others, connecting with yourself. So for me, figuring out what healthy boundaries meant was, okay, check in with yourself. What do you need right now? What do you really, really need? If you need a little bit of time to just have a night to yourself and watch Netflix or call a friend or go to bed early, okay, can you honor that? Can you honor that need? That's a healthy boundary that you create for yourself. Because I think a lot of the times we think that healthy boundaries are the things that we do in relationship to others, right? Like keeping others out, or a boundary that we have with the outside world. But healthy boundaries are also very much for ourselves, because our survivor self will sometimes want to run the show. And to be honest, it does like 80% of the time for most humans. So creating healthy boundaries with ourselves is this really lovely relationship that we create between our survivor self and our healthy self, where our healthy self gets to have a say in how we show up and what we do in life. So for instance, like my survivor self would maybe give in to wanting to go out and maybe go out and drink with everybody in a night when I was like, you know, that my survivor self would think, oh, but I'm going to miss out, or, oh, but, you know, what if they all start to get really close and then I get left behind? You know, that's my survivor self talking about it. So my healthy self would be like, okay, I see you. I see you, little fear bubble that says that, you know, you're going to get left out and people are going to forget about you if you don't show up and do this and push yourself. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay to take a night for yourself and to maybe watch a movie and just relax and nourish yourself. And that's actually me creating a healthy boundary with myself. And that boundary is the check-in. So it's not like this hard wall that I put up. It's check-in. It's a very nice, compassionate moment. And sometimes that's all a healthy boundary is a moment to stop and think, how do I want to be in this moment? How do I want to show up for myself? What is really in alignment with me right now? And trusting and owning that, that's sometimes the trickier part. It's like, we know what we need sometimes. We just don't always listen. We just don't always own it and trust it, because our funny little survivor self will come in and tell us a different story. So I love talking about healthy boundaries, because it's really a conversation about how can we own what we need, and owning it from a place of our healthy self versus our survivor self, which I talk about a lot. The survivor self being the part of us that's a little bit fear-based and is just trying to protect us. And the healthy self is like our higher self, our essence. So in talking about this, there's many different places where we can practice healthy boundaries, many, many different places. So the first one that we've been talking about is with ourselves. How do we create healthy boundaries with ourselves? Well, first, I think we need to understand what we need and what is truly in alignment with you in that moment. So whether you're, you know, having a really long day and need to go home and rest, or you really want to go out with your friends, or you maybe you really want that piece of cake, but your body's telling you no at the end of a long dinner, or maybe you need to go for a walk or move your body or go to the gym. And maybe some days you're really tired and your body is telling you, no, thank you. That's not what would feel good for me right now. And creating the relationship with your healthy self and your survivor self so that you actually have that healthy boundary set up for you, which is really just a choice. But the conversation, the awareness, the relationship that you create between those two parts of yourself is where that healthy boundary gets to be enacted or practiced. And it is. It's very much a practice. You know, that's why we call it a yoga practice, because we're constantly like working into it, evolving into it, practicing rather than being a master of it. And that's nice because it releases a lot of the expectation of how we're supposed to be in it. It's a practice. You're practicing just like a sport. So how can you practice healthy boundaries for and with yourself? What would that mean for you? What would it mean for you to have a healthy boundary with yourself? Is it around alcohol? Is it around food? Is it around sex? Is it around your connection with other people? Is it around, and these are all the places that we're going to touch on today, like all the places where healthy boundaries can be really helpful: sex, relationship, self, the world, all places that we connect to, you know, where we're connecting, and how to create that connection is really powerful and really intentional and in alignment with what we really want, in integrity with what we really need and want, instead of just coming from that default or that survivor self that feels scared or says this is all you can get or wants to retreat and put up our walls. You know, like, healthy boundaries is a way of understanding what we need and honoring that without judgment or fear. It's also not coming from a fear place. It's coming from an honoring of you. And I think that's the biggest difference for me in terms of healthy boundaries versus unhealthy boundaries. You know, like, healthy boundaries come from a place of honoring the essence of what you truly need and who you are, what is really in alignment with you. And unhealthy boundaries are usually fear-based, and they're meant to keep people out. And they oftentimes come from like a belief that says, you know, people are going to hurt me, or I have to do this. I have to. Or like, no, that's just the way I am. You know, those boundaries are limiting. They're beliefs that are limiting, and they're ways to keep people out, and they're ways that our survivor self will use to tell us that we're essentially kind of like the little voice in the back of the head that the survivor self often says is that you're weak and you have to protect yourself, and that your heart is weak and you have to protect it. And it's like one of the biggest lies that our survivor self tells us. Our heart's not weak. It's insanely strong. It gets bumped and bruised and thrown around all the time and broken all the time, and it's still there beating for us. Go figure. Our hearts have the capacity to love hundreds and thousands of people. It's insanely strong. It has, I think, the 10 times the electromagnetic force field of our brain. It is so beautiful. So anyway, I got off on a tangent. It's something that I'm really passionate about, the ways that we think we need to protect our hearts when they're some of the strongest part of who we are. And it's intentional. Like, because the parts of us that protect and create the harder boundaries, the unhealthy boundaries, are there because we're trying to protect our hearts for the most part. Because all we ever really want as humans is to be loved. That's like one of our deepest needs as a human. So, you know, protecting our hearts and creating boundaries is a way of what we think, protecting ourselves from not feeling loved, feeling rejected, feeling hurt, unwanted, unloved, whatever it is. You know, like, those harder boundaries are usually there to, our survivor self things, protect us against those things. So, you know, we can't talk about healthy boundaries without talking about unhealthy boundaries, because otherwise we don't know what we're creating. Are we creating a healthy boundary or an unhealthy boundary? It's a really interesting and important thing to talk about. And to be honest, I'm actually glad that I can't even talk about this right now, because this probably wouldn't have been a topic for me 2 years ago, when boundaries for me felt like something that I was like, I had resistance to it, because in my head it was harsh. You know, boundaries felt harsh. I've always been the kind of person that's like open and just wanting to explore and receive and see what was there. You know, the curiosity in me, the explorer in me, has always wanted to know all of it, to be open to all of it. And boundaries just felt restrictive to me. And that belief stopped me from seeing the beauty in what boundaries have to offer and the ways that it can strengthen connection instead of diminish it. And that's the sweet spot. You know, like that's also the beauty in looking at the places where we have resistance and giving ourselves the opportunity to be with what might be lying there for us, lying in it for us, right? Like one, looking at the lie that's in it, you know, looking at the lie that's in the disbelief or in the resistance, you know, the belief that's probably a lie. And also like looking at what lie is there, what gift is there for you to see from the thing that you're resisting. And for me, you know, like getting out of that resistance around boundaries has enabled me to have this conversation, to talk about the gift in healthy boundaries. So essentially question the things you have resistance to and see what lies within them. See what gifts lie inside of the resistance to your boundaries. Or whatever it is that you might be resisting. So, healthy boundaries. I'm really curious for you what that even means. Like, how do you relate to boundaries? I know how I did. I just explained how I used to relate to boundaries. Now I see them as these beautiful, like, translucent films, where you get to honor what it is that you need so that you can have healthier relationships with yourself and others, the world. So how do you relate to boundaries? What's that first initial feeling or instinct or belief or thought that you get when you think about boundaries? And what is the resistance? Is there a resistance there? Getting really curious about this is the beginning stages of that treasure hunting, of understanding how you work inside of these boundaries with the beliefs about boundaries so that you can do what I did and evaluate it. You know, like evaluate what is the gift that's lying there for you. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, but after the break, we're going to talk about like all of these specific healthy boundaries, the boundaries, healthy boundaries within yourself, healthy boundaries around sex, healthy boundaries around your relationship with other people, and also healthy boundaries with the world at large, which is an important one. You know, it's one that probably would get overlooked a lot, but it's an important one, especially right now with how much is going on in the world. There's a lot going on in the world, and how do we engage in it, and how do we create healthy boundaries around it so that we are vibrating at our highest frequency for the world? Okay, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be back in just a minute, but stay tuned for more fun chat about healthy boundaries. Okay, thanks guys. See you in a minute.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, Join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. You are listening to Love Living Radio, and I am Emily Perkins, and I'm coming to you from a very lovely call booth in what is our workspace in Lisbon, Portugal. I'm traveling remotely for the next 4 months, and it's been really, really fun and really, really challenging and has brought up all sorts of stuff, which I'm really happy and excited about because it gives me all sorts of new places to go looking. And one of them, the one that we were talking about today, is healthy boundaries. So, and I just had a moment actually thinking about that because I'm literally in like a padded room. It like is like this little cubicle slash kind of feels like a coffin. That is an actual physical boundary between me and everybody out there. And I've been inside these call booths a lot this week, and I literally come out of them feeling like all of the life has been sucked out of me. It's so interesting how like feeling like you're enclosed with very little air, which is not surprisingly a metaphor sometimes for how we create unhealthy boundaries. When we trap ourselves in a box with no air, you know, it feels like that in here a lot of the time. And there's a little doggy in here. I've been really curious about that. I've been curious about boundaries in general all week. So having myself literally boxed into a small room has been like a physical experience of boundaries, and also got me thinking about like my interior. So before the break, we were talking about the four different ways that we're going to talk about healthy boundaries. The first one, which you talked about a little bit already, is within yourself. How do you create that within yourself? First, acknowledging what it is that you're really in alignment with and what you need, and acting in alignment with that. So asking yourself, what is it that I really, really need right now? Do I need time? Do I need space? Do I need connection? Do I need a good meal? You know, like really honoring and owning the thing that you need. And that honoring and the owning is a big part of all four of the things we're going to talk about today: self, other, sex, and world. You know, like a big part of enacting our healthy boundaries is actually acknowledging the thing that we need and owning it. And that's what makes it healthy versus unhealthy. So the other piece, like let's talk about that one before we talk about the sex one. So how do we create healthy boundaries with others? And what does healthy boundaries with others look like for you? Because that is the point. It is for you. Yours are going to be different than mine, and they're going to be different in every moment of your life. That's the other thing. They're not necessarily stagnant or what's the word I'm looking for? Monotone is not the word, but they're not like fixed. That's the word. They're not fixed. They're fluid, kind of like that translucent light that I was talking about in terms of how I see healthy boundaries. So when it comes to healthy boundaries with others, if we think about it in terms of that fluid light instead of like a hard wall, which we oftentimes will create hard walls with people. And in some cases, that might be what is in service of you. But I would question, like, what is the need for that? Is it coming from a place of fear? Is it coming from a place of alignment within yourself. So healthy boundaries with others, for me, I've noticed over the past week, has been like being with 40 people and traveling with other people and surrounded by, I have 5 amazing female roommates, which is a stretch for me. I'm not going to lie, it's a stretch. I've always lived alone. Even in college, I lived alone. I love my own sacred space. So having 5 roommates was definitely an edge. And it's what made me start thinking about healthy boundaries, not to mention the fact that I'm traveling with 40 other people and we're constantly always surrounded by each other. And you want to be connected to everybody. And that's the funny thing that I've actually been noticing is that like my desire for connection and my need for it has increased so much. I used to spend so much time alone when I was home. I loved it and I still do, but I have never loved connection more than I have on this trip. So what does connection and healthy boundaries look like when it comes to other people? So in having these amazing roommates and being around all these people, I've constantly had to tune into myself and be like, hey, Emily, what do you need right now? What would feel really good for you? Because your energy is really low. You're getting a little cranky. So something is off. What do you need? And sometimes that's been a walk by myself. Sometimes it's been hanging out in my room instead of going out with everybody. Sometimes it has been connecting with one friend and having a really good conversation. So creating healthy boundaries with other people is first tuning in to see what it is that's really, really in alignment with you, and then acting from there. So if the thing that I need is connection, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to ask my friend for that conversation. I'm going to ask that person to go for a walk with me, or who knows, that person might not be available. But the healthy boundary first comes with the awareness of what it is that you need from that place. So what I've noticed for a lot of people on this trip is that figuring out what it is they actually want is sometimes the hardest part, right? Because you have all this stimulus, all these choices and all this stimulus of being like, okay, do I go out with a group? Do I go out with a smaller group? Do I spend time with myself? Like, and in those 3 options, you have all of these things going on in your head that say, well, what if I miss out? And what if this ends up being an amazing night and I just miss out on the connection and the memories? And like, what if I don't go out and do that experience in the city and I feel like I'm wasting this trip? And what if, you know, what if? All those funny little voices that come in when we're trying to decide on what it is to do. And that's the beauty of the check-in and the healthy boundaries is one, acknowledging like what it is you need. And also, you know, the thing about healthy boundaries with other people is being okay with the fact that your choice is for you and may trigger something in another person. And in being responsible with that, actually being vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm like really needing some time with myself. Is that okay? Can you say that to somebody else, whether it's a partner or a friend or people that you're traveling with or your roommates? Like, can you own that that's the thing that you need and actually ask for it? Because oftentimes the fear is that if I take time for myself, they're going to think that I don't like them, or they're going to not ask me to do that. You know, they're not going to ask me to go out again, or they're going to forget about me, or whatever those stories are that we create around connection with other people and choosing the thing that's really in alignment with us. And that's the difference again between healthy boundaries and unhealthy boundaries, is that instead of being like, you know, a healthy boundary says, I don't want to be with that person, or I don't want to do that thing because, you know, it's stupid, or they're stupid, or it's not going to be fun, or I'm going to feel like, you know, nobody sees me, or I'm going to, you know, feel like I'm the wallflower. which are all just stories. And so we create these boundaries that say, I'm not going to go, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not going to engage with that person, or I'm not going to do this or that, or this or that, or they can't be my friend, or whatever. All the funny little unhealthy boundaries that we create because we think we need to protect ourselves. So when it comes to boundaries with other people, it can sometimes be a little tricky because you need to sometimes really understanding from your healthy self what's true for you is a conversation that takes a little bit of practice. It takes a little bit of practice to figure out whether or not the voice in your head is your healthy self or your survivor self. And it's the same thing when it comes to sex. When it comes to sex, healthy boundaries is so, so important. Oh my gosh, it's so important. So on this trip, one of the things that I have been really leaning into and getting curious about has been being with multiple people, both one-on-one and being with multiple people in a group. I really want to know what it's like to experience group sex, intentional group sex, and being with multiple partners at once. So what does that look like? And especially because there's more than one person, how do you create healthy boundaries in that? And it's been this recurring theme for me this week. And I was thinking about it, and so much of what creates healthy boundaries within an intimate relationship one-on-one with one other person, or most especially in a group, is communication. And without owning and knowing what you need, you can't communicate it. So I cannot say this enough, that knowing what it is that you need in that moment is the most important part of understanding what your healthy boundary might be. So for instance, like I've been thinking about being with another couple and intimately. And I've been thinking a lot about how I would set that up powerfully and what my healthy boundaries would look like in that instance. And a big part of it is around creating communication. What are the things that are off limits for you? Like, what is your code word for when you're uncomfortable or you want to stop? What are the rules that make the other person or other people in that situation feel really comfortable? And I got to practice this a little bit this past weekend and really own what I needed in the bedroom and ask for it and say it and start that conversation that has honestly sets everybody up for a win to be satisfied. Because that conversation about what feels good, what doesn't feel good, what you like, what you don't like, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do, they're all the bricks of a healthy boundary, or the foam, if we're talking about it as translucent light, of those healthy boundaries. The conversation, the honesty, then knowing what you like, what you don't like, what you want, what you don't want, what you're open to and what you're not open to. And whether it's sex or a relationship, they're both the same thing. They're both forms of intimacy. So we're essentially talking about the same thing. We're just, you know, piecing them apart, because sex is actually like a whole nother ball game, a whole nother realm of intimacy. So this weekend, it really landed when I got to actually practice using these healthy boundaries through communication, and then thinking about, okay, well, you know, evolving this into what might be next for me in being with multiple people at once, and creating that really powerfully for everyone, you know, through conversation, through communication, through being very open and honest about what we need, what we like, how we see this going and what we'd like to get out of it and what our healthy boundaries are. What is the no? What is the point where we, you know, stop or don't go past? So, it's been such an interesting couple of weeks thinking about all of these new things, thinking about group sex, thinking about how to set that up powerfully through communication, knowing what you need, which are the building blocks for healthy boundaries. Yeah. So how do we then take that concept and apply it to global? So we are a part of a community, a global community, a race, a planet. It's not just humans. We're not the only beings on this earth. We are accompanied by many, many, many other beings. And how do we engage with that? And how do we engage with the world at large with healthy boundaries? So again, what are the most important parts? Communication, understanding first, before you can communicate, understanding what feels right for you. What's really, really right just for you? Not because of a should, not because you think that that's what someone told you is the right thing to do, but like what is actually right for you? Because that's the only thing that is right. And that's again where the conversation between, or the relationship between your healthy self and your survivor self is really important. Because what's right for you from your healthy self might be different than what's right for you from your survivor self. And getting to know the different voices and the different stories that those two things will tell you. So for instance, like my healthy self will tell me that I don't want to engage in the news on a regular basis because it lowers my frequency and creates anxiety and is not a healthy choice for me. And my survivor self will be like, well, then you're going to seem really ignorant and people are going to think you don't know what's going on in the world. So that's the beauty of understanding your two voices and where you're choosing from and what it is you need from your healthy self versus your survivor self. And then creating the communication from there. So I know that I had this conversation with my dad right before I left, and it was a really important conversation and a really challenging one because my dad really was passionate about me knowing what was going on in the world and being involved and not necessarily being political, but being informed. And I can hear that. You know, I can also hear, I can own that I am in some sense not, because it, and this is where my healthy boundary was coming in and trying to explain to him what that healthy boundary was with the world. That for me, knowing that my energy and me showing up as my most powerful self means not engaging in media and politics and the news on a regular basis is a healthy choice for me and a healthy boundary that I've created so that I can show up super powerfully in the work that I do. And the work that I do is the ripple that I have in the world, right? Like if I can show up in my highest vibration for my coaching clients, for my healing clients, for the clients that I have in my group workshops, then I'm actually contributing more positively to the world than I would be if I were watching the news. And so understanding that and owning that was me really owning how I want to engage with the world, how I want to engage on a larger scale. And I also heard him and have kind of, the beauty of it is that I get to create the both and. Like I understand what it is that's healthy for me. And I also maybe start to get curious about how I can maybe start engaging with the world in a way that still feels like it's in alignment with my energy so that it's not a hard wall. It's not me saying, I'm never going to watch the news. I hate the news. You know, that's an unhealthy boundary. So getting to watch that too was really interesting, right? Like getting to watch that part of me come up and be like, no, that is a hard wall for me. Okay, well, what's that about? Because if there's resistance there, then there's something to look at. It's so interesting, this whole unraveling and treasure hunting and peeling back the layers and getting curious. You know, like it's a constant evolution of who we are, and it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And the reason why, for me, why it's so much fun is because I don't make my stuff mean so much. You know, like we make all of our darker sides mean so much, and we always want to be right. You know, we're human. We just always want to be right about everything. It makes us feel really comfortable and really good and really perfect if we feel right. And I get it. I have it too. I'm human. I get it. But it stops us from all of the infinite possibilities that are available to us if we don't have one right way of doing something. So, like, for the instance with my dad and that conversation about politics, like, if I had been stuck in just thinking, this is the way I am, and this is the way, you know, it works for me, and I don't want to hear that, it instantly blocks me off and cuts me off from the possibility of receiving something from that. Like, hey, how can I engage with the world in a way that feels really good for me and has me still be informed, but doesn't deplete my energy? And I'm still kind of working on that and trying to figure out the way that works for me. Sometimes it's through conversation with people, like asking, like that did happen with a group of friends right before I left, after I'd had that conversation with my dad. We sat there and we had this really great, really lively conversation about what's going on in the world. And I learned so much. I sat there and I just absorbed it and I learned. And it was really cool to see another woman my age know so much about politics. It was very inspiring. So that was the beauty in it, in me not creating a hard wall and saying, this is how I am with politics, this is how I am with media, and shutting out all the other possibilities, which is a negative, unhealthy boundary. I was more open and was like, okay, if there's resistance here, what can I be open to? What are the other possibilities that I might not be thinking about? I just had a moment of like a little missing of my people back home, which I, to be totally honest, have not been homesick at all. I'm loving this experience. It doesn't mean I don't love my people. I do. I love, 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 love my people. But I've just been having the most incredible experience over here, seeing new cultures and meeting new people and diving into all these new curiosities within myself, which traveling really does uniquely. It does. It's just, I was thinking a lot about this week also, that like, what is it that I love about traveling? And it makes you feel so alive. Everything feels alive. You know, like everything is new and everything is exciting and there's so many different options and you're learning so much. And, you know, there's something new around every corner. So it's impossible not to feel really alive when you're traveling. And I was also thinking about ways to like bring that lens, that ability into normal life, into everyday life. Not to say that traveling can't be your normal life. It can. Everything is possible. So, which I've been thinking about a lot too, whether or not this becomes my lifestyle, but I'm not there yet. I promise. But yeah, you know, like, and I think that's the beauty in traveling too, is that so many of our unhealthy boundaries, like the no's that we create. No, I don't want to do that. No, that's not me. No, I don't do that. Start to melt as you enter into this new space. You know, you have to be open and willing and receptive in traveling because you don't really know what's going to happen. And it's the beauty of it, because then you get all of this beautiful unknown stuff just flowing into you, like awareness, like new friendships, like new dates, you know, like there's so many juicy things just waiting to come in if we're just open and receptive to receiving them. And that's that soft, filmy, light boundary instead of the hard wall. I'm very present to how grateful I am in this moment. Very present to how grateful I am for the people that have loved me and supported me in doing this. All of you for tuning in and listening and taking the time to receive for yourself today. And very grateful for myself for showing up and choosing this. You know, so many people said, you're so lucky. And yes, I am, but I created this also. So I'm very grateful for myself in the way that I've created my own healthy boundaries, and also for pushing the boundaries that felt really hard, because there's so much available outside of the walls of the no's. The no thanks. I don't, that's not me. I don't do that. Really? See what's on the other side of that no. Who knows? You might end up in Lisbon, Portugal. If you do, I totally recommend it. It's awesome. Oh, okay, guys. So I think I've probably said the word healthy boundaries about 100 times in this episode, but hopefully you gathered something valuable from this and got curious about what healthy boundaries look like for you, and maybe got a little curious about the resistance you have in some of your harder ones, your harder boundaries. I hope that you feel as connected as I do. And if not, I am so totally here to love you. It's literally my purpose on this earth is to love you. So if you're looking for coaching, I have 2 open spots left in my coaching practice, and that's it. Only 2 individual coaching sessions or spots open for people. And those spots are going to go very intentionally. So if you're willing, if you're ready, and you want support, I would love to hold your hand. You can find me at lovelivingholistics.com. You can also schedule appointments with Amanda and Rob at lovelivingholistics.com. That's my esthetician and massage therapist. They're amazing. You can follow along with the adventures on Instagram at lovelivingholistics, and find me on Facebook, which is where I also do a lot of lives, and there's also good information there. So Emily Perkins on Facebook, there's a million of them. So just look up Emily Perkins Aesthetics and then find me. I hope that you're having a fantastic day, and I wish you so much love in your life. I hope to see you soon. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you for listening to Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins. Tune in on transformationtalkradio.com as Emily shares the power of living your life with love and loving the life you live. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit lovelivingholistics.com. That's lovelivingholistics.com. See you next time.